Good evening and happy Earth Day from Health Writers on the Air. I'm your host, Steve Blank. We have a special treat for our listeners this evening, one of Madison's premier social activists and a leader in the organic food movement, Phyllis Hasbrook, will be our guest. Phyllis Hasbrook is now the chairperson of Fitchburg Fields. Their mission is to promote sustainable living, especially regionally based food systems across the United States, primarily by creating a center for teaching and practicing small-scale organic agriculture and sustainable living in Fitchburg. Health writer Mary Summers will be speaking with Phyllis Hasbrook in just a couple of minutes, and you can learn about the wonderful classes offered at Fitchburg Fields and how you can get involved. Then stay tuned for our Healthy Bits and Pieces segment, where I'll fill you in on some important events that you won't want to miss. But first, we're going to start our special Earth Day presentation off with a commentary by health writer Thomas Kozlowski. Tom?
Today is Earth Day. Today we honor the Earth and its resources. Today the Earth is also on a precipice. As shown by Darwin's Origin of the Species, flora and fauna, including Homo sapiens, man, have also changed to survive and are subject to the same laws of evolution as any other species. The Earth is a finite area where its space and resources are limited. Today we face the results of ignoring the signs of rapid environmental change that has and is occurring. Just like many species have become extinct due to the failure to adapt to change, so is man on the same journey. The Earth can only support so many of any species, and they are all intertwined. All the scientific discoveries will not change the limit of the physical planet. Due to religion, culture, and Earth resources, man believes he can solve this problem technologically, when in many cases it only goes to exacerbate the problems. Contrary to most human beliefs that there is a better world after death, in reality, Earth is the paradise that we all seek. All plants, animals, including humans, reproduce as much as possible, but all are limited by the available food. When more resources are available, more offspring survive. When times are bad, fewer offsprings may be produced and or survive, or the species may become extinct. We now have reached the point where overpopulation of humans and the way food is produced is destroying the very land, water, and air that sustains us. Until the human population is reduced, religion and culture recognize the limitations of the world resources, and the political, social, scientific, and economic power is used to address these problems, no change will be made. War, overpopulation, limit of natural resources, along with the political, economic, cultural, and religious beliefs are what has led us to this crisis. For Health Writers, this is Thomas Kozlowski.
This is Mary Summers from Health Writers, and I have with me Phyllis Hasbrook, a community organizer and the chair of Fitchburg Fields. Welcome to Health Writers, Phyllis.
Thank you.
Just what is a Fitchburg Field?
Well, Fitchburg Fields is a nonprofit group, and we started 2 years ago. And we have a garden in Fitchburg. Last year was our first year. This will be our second year with a garden. Last year it was 2,000 square feet, and this year we've doubled it to 4,000 square feet. And what we do there, it's not a community garden where people have their own plots. Rather, we call it a teaching and sharing garden. So the teaching part is we're teaching people how to grow food organically, and they can come and participate in workshops. They can also just come and volunteer. We always have a lead volunteer who will instruct new people on how to do the tasks of the day. And then the sharing part is that we give the food to food pantries. So last year we grew 1,652 pounds of fresh organic produce, and 96% of that went to two food pantries, the Allied Drive food pantry, where we are the only regular supplier of fresh organic produce, or any produce that's fresh, and then also to the St. Vincent de Paul food pantry. So that's what we do in the garden. And then we also have, our mission is to teach people self-reliance skills. So there's the organic gardening self-reliance skills, and then there's food preservation and cooking. So we have a large list of those classes that I can get into later where we teach people how to preserve and cook their own food.
So you actually teach people in the garden how to be an organic farmer?
You know, right now it's an organic gardener. We have big plans for later, and later when we have more land, we'll be able to teach farming methods. So that's the when we scale up, we'll get into farming.
So then why today, you know, is Earth Day? Why is organic gardening good on Earth Day?
Oh, gosh, it's good every day. And I forgot to say another big thing what we do is community education to promote a local organic food system. And people who have seen Food Inc. or Fresh or read any books by Michael Pollan or heard him speak know that our current industrial ag system is just not working. It's bad for our health, it's bad for our communities, and it's bad for the planet. And a local organic food system solves those problems. So, for instance, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number, but it's a large part of our carbon footprint comes from our industrial ag system because there's so much fossil fuel used both in the fertilizers and the pesticides and then the tractors and all the other machinery that are used to grow the food that most people eat. And then it travels so far. So recently we heard with the air stoppage in Europe because of the volcano, there was a program on NPR about in South Africa, all this food was waiting at the airport and couldn't get to Europe. And really, there is no reason to be importing all kinds of foods into any country by airplane at this point in time because it causes so much pollution. Our atmosphere is warming, and it's creating all these problems for us. And that should be one of the first things we cut out is needless imports of food. So if you grow your food organically near where it's eaten, that's going to cut way back on fossil fuel use and carbon.
Well, what are all these corporations going to do that are pushing food into places like Mexico and
well, that's their problem. Our problem is to try to make ourselves healthier, make our atmosphere healthier, and make our local communities healthier. And that's another thing. When you buy food that was produced industrially, your food dollars are leaving your community. But if you buy from a local farmer or market gardener, then they're staying there. They're going to take the money you paid them, and they're going to buy things at the hardware store or go to restaurants or whatever. It's going to circulate in the community. And so many communities have been devastated by corporations picking up and leaving when they found they could pay people less in another country or another part of our country. And that can't happen if you have local jobs that can't run away. And growing food locally, they can't run away. It's local food. And if people are dedicated to buying food from local producers, then that means that their community is going to stay healthier. There's going to be more jobs and money in their community. So you might pay a little more, but the benefits to you are huge.
I saw recently that you received a couple of grants, is that?
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could explain what the grants are for and who gave them to you.
Okay. Well, we got $1,000 from the Organic Valley Farmers Profit Share Committee. And that was the second time we got that. And this time it was to support our new line of classes, canning classes. So we're doing pressure canning, meals in a jar, and also freezing healthy meals. And we're going to use that money for all the equipment that we need for those classes, like a big pressure canner and other equipment. What was the second one?
The raspberries?
Well, someone's donating the raspberries, but that's not exactly a grant. I'll think of that one later, but just last night we got two more grants. So one is a $500 grant from the Return Peace Corps volunteers. And that is to make a scholarship fund for recent immigrants. So people who've been here 2 years or less can apply through that. And because our classes, our workshops, we have to charge for most of them. And so we have a scholarship fund for low-income people, and this will be for low-income recent immigrants. So that's great because we really want to be able to spread the word to everybody who needs it. And, of course, people who are low-income especially need to learn how to grow food and how to safely preserve it and cook it. So, and then the other one we just got yesterday, $2,000 grant from Madison Gas and Electric Foundation, and that is to support our community education work, our website, which we recently had updated, and doing 4 potlucks and movie showings. So we've been doing those during the past year. We showed Fresh. We showed Homegrown, and there's a lot of great movies out there. So now we have some funding to rent some more movies, some more halls, and let people learn some more.
Now, I saw that your grants, one was in increasing the amount of food for the food pantries.
That's right. That was the one I was forgetting. That's CAC, Community Action Coalition. And so they recently got a bunch of money. I believe it was from the Madison Community Foundation to give out, and we were one of the many groups that got awarded. We got $1,000, and that's to help. That's because we are a food pantry garden. That's what it was for. And so we're using that for delivery of manure and straw and leaf mold and so on, and then also garden carts and other tools.
So I see, too, that you won an award, the Arabella Carter Award, for community organizing from Swarthmore College.
That's true, I did.
Did you go to school there?
I did.
Mm-hmm. And what is that all? What was that award about?
Arabella Carter was an unpaid organizer who worked for civil rights and peace and justice quite a few years ago. I'm not sure, in the 20s maybe, I think. And so the award was named after her, and it's for somebody who has had a lifetime of organizing for those kinds of things without much recognition. So actually Molly John, who is the dean of Agriculture and Life Sciences College at the UW, she went to Swarthmore also, and so she nominated me for it, and I got it.
And did this have something to do also with your work at Fitchburg Fields?
Well, that's the most recent kind of organizing I've done, yes.
How long have you been a community organizer?
I've been some kind of organizer since I was 19, and I'm 54 now.
So. And what were some of your larger projects?
When I was at Swarthmore, we organized to get non-union grapes and lettuce out of the dining hall. Then I joined the United Farm Workers and became an organizer for them, and went to California and was organizing Mexican farm workers into the union. And later in Chicago, I was an in-plant organizer for the United Electrical Workers. So I got a job in a factory, working in a factory, and then undercover talked to workers about the need to join the union and so on.
Well, I live in Fitchburg, so, you know, I feel very lucky that we have this so close to us. We want to explain to people just exactly where you're located.
Sure. Our garden is at the corner of Lacey Road and Fahey Glen. So that's in between Syene Road and Fish Hatchery Road, about halfway. And you can't come just any time. You have to come when we're there. But we certainly need a lot of people to volunteer. So we just run it with volunteer labor and grow all those hundreds or thousands of pounds. And we especially need people Wednesday mornings for harvesting for Allied Drive Food Pantry. We're there from 7:45 to 9:15, getting the harvest together, and then someone comes and picks it up. And then we have Saturday morning harvest for St. Vincent de Paul. And there's many other times, too, that you can set up to be a volunteer there. Then we also have volunteer committees, too, if people don't want to or can't work in the garden but want to work on fundraising or publicity or the internet, things like that. There's a lot of need there. And then, of course, if you go to our website, fitchburgfields.org, you can see what all the classes are under events. And I could just tell a few of them now.
Yeah, and like if I just wanted to take one class and didn't want to be involved, like I wanted
sure.
to brush up on my canning, I could just...
That's right. You can just sign up. And you can find it all online at fitchburgfields.org. And there's a way to sign up. You can also pay for the classes by PayPal or send a check, either one. What's coming up soon is this Saturday we're creating a raspberry patch, unless it rains too much. But then if it rains, we're going to be doing another activity, which is transplanting our seedlings into bigger pots. Because we grow... We and other volunteers grow our own seedlings mostly. So then there's that's free, of course, to come and help us create the raspberry patch. And there's two other big free ones that I really would love people to sign up for. And that the first one, the other one is May 1st, and that's garden bed preparation. So you don't have to know anything. We'll tell you what to do, but it's a lot of digging and raking and turning and so on. And then June 5th. Is when we're doing seed sowing and transplanting into the garden. And that's another huge thing. And last year we had 23 people at each of those. This year we have twice as much, so we hope to have about 50 people. So people, you can sign up online to come, and we'd really appreciate it. And you'll learn a lot. And it's a beautiful place. And it's also very accessible from Madison. Even if you don't have a car, you can get there by a bike trail, mostly by the bike trail.
Okay, and what are the classes that are coming up?
Okay, so besides those free ones, then there's also transplanting into larger pots, how to use scythes and other garden tools, bentwood trellis construction. So if you've ever seen those lovely bentwood trellises with willow and so on, we make those and we can teach you how and you'll take one home. Vermiculture, building a worm farm. That's great for people who live in apartments. Composting, and then in the fall, building a root cellar. And then the ones that we have for food preservation, there's a series of three called Supper in a Jar, Eat Your Own Healthy Food All Winter. So at each one, you're going to learn how to make two entrees, one vegetarian and one with meat. You'll take home a jar of each of those, and you'll learn, and you'll get the recipes. And then you also get the game plan for how to do it. Pressure canning. Pressure canning. You have to have a pressure can for these ones. So there's spaghetti sauce and beef consomme. Another class has vegetarian chili and chicken consomme. The third is beef and wine sauce and vegetable soup.
Now, I saw the word... worm farming when I was in Venezuela, and also when I was visiting an organic farm in El Salvador. I thought you had to have a big area. Did you say you could do this in an apartment?
Yes. So you have just like a big Tupperware, huge Tupperware container, you know, and there's holes in it, and you layer in newspaper, and then you put in garbage, that is to say food scraps, and put the worms in there. No, I haven't done it, so don't just follow my example. You have to come take the class to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right.
I just might do that.
And it doesn't smell, and they turn it into worm castings, which is the greatest fertilizer there is. I mean, if you go to Growing Power, just a little bag costs you $4. It's very powerful fertilizer. You can make lots of it yourself.
Now, if someone doesn't have the internet and they want to take a class or volunteer, how do they do that?
Well, then they can call... Just one second. I'll give you my number. Call me at 223-9571, and I'll put you in touch with our staff person who makes those arrangements.
And if you want to volunteer, it's the same number?
Yep. But if you can do it online, it would be best. You can also email us at fitchburgfields@gmail.com. I'd just like to mention the a couple other classes that we're having. One is, it's called Cook One Day, Eat Healthy Food for Seven. So that's the idea, is that you could, even if you're really busy working full-time, you can spend either Saturday or Sunday cooking for 6 to 8 hours and make enough meals for the rest of the week that some are refrigerated and some are frozen, and then you just have to, you know, defrost them, throw together a salad, and you have a healthy meal. It's also in three workshops. The first is Swedish meatballs and fontina cheese and tomato pie. The second one, herbed turkey cutlets and spinach lasagna. The third is chicken and biscuits and stuffed shells. And so when you take any one of those, you'll get the whole set of instructions for how to cook all six of them in one day and freeze and refrigerate portions. So it's a great skill for people who think, I know we should eat more healthy, but we just don't have the time. And of course, you save a lot of money, too, when you create your own meals from scratch.
Great classes. Do you have any more classes?
Yes, we do. We have drying fruits, vegetables, and herbs, freezing fruits, vegetables, and herbs, making canning jams and jellies, canning pickles, canning tomatoes and salsa. And that's just a hot water bath canner. You don't need the big expensive pressure canner for that. And making and freezing pesto. And we did those last year. And they're really popular, and lots of young people whose maybe grandmothers knew how to do that, but their parents didn't. They've never learned. And it's so satisfying to be able to create your own food. And some people say to me, well, I don't have a garden, so I don't have the need to learn that. But that's not true, because you can go to the farmer's market and buy things bulk. And especially if you come at the end of the market, a lot of times you can get a good deal because they don't feel like taking it home with them. And then you can take it home and create pickles or salsa or whatever you want and have that on your shelf. And when you look at the prices you pay, especially for organic goods, value-added products like those kind of things really cost a lot, and you'll be delighted at how you can save so much money. And I want to point out that we do have scholarships available for our classes, which we think are reasonably priced, but still, we know a lot of people can't afford them. So we do have scholarship funds, and online you can fill out an application, and it's based on your family income, and it's based on multiples of the federal poverty level. I don't think you have to be at the federal poverty level. That's very low, but even if you have more than that, you can get either 25, 50, or 75% off on our classes. So please do apply for that, and tell your friends about it, too.
Now, in my mind, I think it's healthy not to eat sugar or salt. Do you put any sugar and salt in these recipes?
These are not my recipes, but I'm sure they have salt, but of course you could cut that out if you wanted. And I don't think any of them have sugar, no.
Okay, let's tell our listeners again how they can volunteer and the webpage and the phone number.
Okay, so it's FitchburgFields, with an S, .org. There you can also not only find out about all our activities, but also see our vision for 250 acres of Northeast Fitchburg that we actually started around the vision, and then we got into the practical stuff later. It's a piece of land that we think would be ideal to create a center for sustainable agriculture and to have a farm incubator program where young farmers can learn from mentor farmers how to do organic farming. And it is currently owned by a developer who would like to develop it, but who is willing to sell for the right price. And so we keep that vision out there, and we keep talking to people, and we are looking for the champions who have the interest and the capacity to help us buy that land and create this vision, which you can see online.
So if people want to donate, you know, they don't have time, but they support what you're doing and they want to donate, how do they do that?
Well, they can do it online on the donate page of our website, but they can also send a check to Fitchburg Fields. And the P.O. Box is P.O. Box 259876, Madison, Wisconsin, 53725-9876. And that is most helpful because most of our budget comes from donations. We also have some things to sell, and you can see those on the website.
Well, that's it for our program this evening. Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to Phyllis Hasbrook, Mary Summers, Thomas Kozlowski, and our engineers, Anthony Rainier and Rich Yeager. Please visit the Health Writers website at healthwriters.wordpress.com. Good night, everyone.